Well, good morning, Church. Great to be with you. Welcome to Newbury once again. It's always good to be with you. Thank you so much for your support during this really weird time that we've been passing through. Thank you for the way in which you've stood with the leadership team and with the ministry team. I spend most of my days talking to ministers, and this has been a really challenging time, a really difficult time. So I do ask you, please do everything you can to encourage your wonderful ministry team, the leadership team, all those who work so hard for us. Really looking forward to Thursday evening. I'll be there to chair the meeting, the Q&A session. Please be with us, because there are lots of good things to talk about. As we come out of lockdown, brilliant to see the coffee shop open and lots of signs of life returning. That's brilliant. But there are loads of questions as well and issues we're having to face as we go forward. So pray about that and please be with us on Thursday evening. That would be brilliant. I wonder when you last saw somebody who was really blowing their stack, somebody was really furious about somebody. You know, steam coming out of their ears. Happily, it doesn't happen very often, but you certainly remember it, don't you, when somebody really gets going on something. Well, that's how we meet Paul in this reading this morning. He is livid. For Paul, the good news of Jesus Christ is everything. It defines his life. It's his reason for being alive, his raison d'etre. Everything turned on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He couldn't wait for people to meet Jesus for themselves and to find the liberty, the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus. So that's at the heart of everything. And then along come these people of a Jewish background who are saying, yeah, Paul, you're right. You need to follow Jesus. That's absolutely right. You need to follow Jesus, but you also need to do loads of other things. And if you're a man, you must be circumcised. And whoever you are, you need to obey all the law. And Paul is livid because, and we heard Chris very clearly preach on this a couple of weeks ago in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, what you're talking about, a gospel plus lots of things to do, that, he says, is no gospel at all. So the whole of this letter is dominated by this issue, that what Jesus wants is to set us free. What Jesus wants is to liberate us to a life in which is not bound by laws, which we would always fail to obey fully. When it comes to chapter 5, he really gets going and actually says that he would like these false teachers to go away and injure themselves. And he uses words that I wouldn't want to use in a family service. He's livid. He's furious. He's furious because the good news of Jesus Christ is so wonderful. And the joy of a service like this is, I don't know who I'm talking to. I know many of you, but there will be other friends. And I know there are people in other parts of the country who are following this today. I just want you to know from my heart, I want you to know the freedom that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to find another gospel that has lots of rules about it. I want to talk about the life that Jesus wants for us, the liberated life. Firstly, it's a life of faith. And the life of faith is incredibly good news. You see, if salvation, if us getting it right with Jesus depended on our good deeds, then we'd need to be really depressed, wouldn't we? Because the truth is, let me tell you the truth about yourself. It's certainly true of me. We have good days. We do have lots of good days, but we have bad days as well. We have days when we don't get it right. We have days when we totally miss out on what Jesus wants us to do. So if our salvation depended on us getting it right, then we should now start a time of deep depression, because we know we'd fail. Most religions talk about the importance of good deeds, and they have this idea that if you do something good, then it's almost like you've got a helium balloon and you go up, and when you do something bad, you go down. It's like life is an eternal story of snakes and ladders. Really depressing. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners, and we all depend upon the grace of Jesus. We all depend on what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're totally reliant on faith, which means totally trusting ourselves to what Jesus did for us in dying for us on the cross. Paul points, interestingly, in the chapter we've just heard beautifully read for us, he points to the example of Abraham. Now, Abraham's a really interesting person to look to, because Abraham was living, if you think back to the Old Testament, he was living before the time of the law. He was before the time of Moses, wasn't he? So in a sense, he's in the same place as us. He couldn't live by the law because it hadn't been invented. He lived by faith. Faith defined his life. And so Paul interestingly points back to him because we have that in common. And as you all know, Abraham was the father of faith. He was the father of the nation. His life was based on faith. And as we read in the letter to the Hebrews, and we'll be thinking about the letter to the Hebrews a little bit later, Abraham went out when he was 75 years old. This is quite young, as we know, but he was 75 years old. He was called by God to start his ministry, to start going on this a journey of faith, this adventure of faith. And he headed out, the writer to the Hebrews says, not knowing where he was going. On the face of it, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? You don't head out not knowing where you're going. You don't do that. And you especially don't take all your wives and all your camels with you on this journey where you don't know where you're going. But Abraham did. And he did because he trusted God. He was a man of faith. He knew that if God tells him to go on a journey, it'll be fine. That's what he should do. This is really important for me. I didn't know these verses very well, but when I was 19, I felt God was calling me to Christian ministry. I felt God was calling me to be a minister. I wasn't absolutely sure, but I thought that was probably the way. And I went to speak with my college chaplain. I was studying law at the time in Oxford, and I went to speak to my college chaplain. And he very graciously and gently said to me, Jonathan, you're like Abraham. You're heading out and you don't know where you're going. He's absolutely right. It sounds bonkers. But I want you to know from my story, my life, as well as Abraham's life, when you head out in faith, just following what you know, what God has asked you to do, it is the most secure life you can find. Abraham, this somewhat old man, heads off on this adventure of faith, and he goes and lives in tents, which almost symbolizes the fact that it wasn't permanent. He'd lived in a beautiful house. We know he's a wealthy man. He'd headed off and lived in tents, but he was glad to do so because he knew his God. We then go on 25 years later to the time when he and Sarah have a son. They had been childless. They'd lived with the indignity of childlessness all their married life. And then suddenly God says he's going to give them the son that they had longed for. Isaac is born, which means he laughs, because Sarah just laughed. They both laughed at the idea of having a baby when you're about 100. Doesn't happen. But God's the God of the impossible, and God gave them a son. And there came the day when God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. What does Abraham do? He immediately saddles up the donkeys and takes Isaac off to offer the sacrifice in the way that God had asked him to. I'm a father. I find that just the most incredible story. But Abraham does it. Why? Because he trusts God. He trusts God with his future. He knows that if God asks him to do it, it will be the best possible thing to do. He knows he can trust his God. So I want to say this to you. You can trust God. You can trust God with your future. you can step out like Abraham on a life of faith, knowing that God will be there. Look back over the last 4 months. What an incredible time this has been. If you ever said 6 months ago you knew what the future held, you've got to revise your thinking now, haven't you? We've been through amazing months. What we do know as we look to the future is we don't know what will happen, but we can be sure of God. And I really want to challenge you today, and particularly in the light of this COVID experience, I want to challenge you. Do you know God so well and trust him so completely, giving yourself to him in faith, that you know your life is secure because you are in him, whatever the future holds, whatever happens? I used to love those moments when the children were young, our three children were young, and they often seemed to happen where suddenly they would shout out at me, "Daddy!" And I'd find one of them flying through the air. Maybe they're jumping off a wall or something, or jumping out of a tree, and they knew that I would catch them. They were totally sure that I wouldn't let them down. May I say, I'm very glad they don't do it these days. I'd be flattened. But as children, little children, they did, and it was lovely. And what they were saying was, "Daddy, we're totally confident of you. We know you're a good catch. We know that you will catch us. You'll not let us go." I want you to know this. When we put our faith in God, he's much better catch than I am. When we put our faith in God, we can be totally sure that our future is secure in his hands. So, no, not a gospel of laws, not a gospel of following Jesus plus laws. No, we're called to a life of faith, totally trusting ourselves to God. That's number one. Secondly, we're called to a life of grace. I love the word grace. This is a severe letter, isn't it? A lot of harsh things are said. Paul is furious. He's furious. But he begins and ends the letter with the word grace. Chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Chapter 6, verse 18, right at the end of this letter, "Grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen." So grace is there from beginning to end. Grace is the key word. And it was what was absent from Paul's opponents. From them, what they were trying to do was prove themselves by their actions before God. And Paul says of them, chapter 5 and verse 4, they had fallen away from grace. What a sad thing to have to say of someone. They'd fallen away from grace. God wants us to live in the heart of grace. Grace really means gift. That's its root. Salvation is a gift. We cannot do anything to make salvation happen. All we can do is receive the gift of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the gift of eternal life. I want you to be clear about this. Everything that you have in your life in this moment is a gift. Everything. Your health today is a gift of God. Your family, a gift of God. Your education was a gift of God. Your qualifications, you think you're so clever, you've only got them because God gave you the brains, because God gave you the opportunity. It's all a gift. Think of your home. Think of your possessions. Whether they are many or few, they're a gift of God. You say, "Well, I work jolly hard for all those things." Well, God bless you. You work jolly hard because of the strength God gave. It's all a gift. Salvation. It's all a gift of God. We need to live with that perspective of grace in everything that we do. Thank God for everything that you have worked hard to achieve. That's great. Thank God that you've applied yourself to your work and you've worked hard and you've succeeded. That's great, but it's all of grace. It's all because of what God has given to you. Look at everything you've got today with fresh eyes and just thank God for his gracious gifts to you. If it was down to us, we'd be boasting, wouldn't we? If it was down to what we had done, to our huge successes, then we had lots to crow about. and we could compare notes and see that we'd done so much better than other people and all the rest of it. Paul could have played that game, and he says he's only got one thing to boast of. He boasts of Jesus. He boasts of what Jesus did on the cross. Chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So actually, this grace word leads us, doesn't it, to worship. Thank you, Emma, so much for the way in which you've been led to lead us in our worship today, to think about grace. It's all of grace. It's all a gift. And when we've worked out its gift, we need to look to the giver. We need to look to our gracious Heavenly Father who has given us everything. We are led to worship, to praise him for what he has amazingly given to us. Friends, we are called to a life of faith, trusting God totally. Called to a life of grace, recognizing everything as a gift of God. Thirdly, we're called to a life of confidence. You see, if it all depended upon rules, you obeying the rules properly, correctly, then we wouldn't have any confidence, wouldn't we? We would be saying to one another, well, I hope it works out. I hope you're obedient this week. I hope you do the right sort of things this week. We could never be confident. Most world religions talk about the things you've got to do with the hope that maybe, just maybe, God will accept you. That would be a heavy word, wouldn't it? A heavy word. Because even if you get it right today, maybe you will get it right today, you've got Monday to cope with. And then do you know what follows that? Tuesday. That's to say nothing of Wednesday to Friday. And then there's the weekend. We would not be able to look at the future confidently if it depended on us. We come to Jesus, and because of his grace, because of what he has done for us, we can come to God boldly. We can come with confidence, not because of ourselves, not looking to ourselves and saying, what a good person I am. Haven't I done wonderfully? Not that. We come because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can be bold. We can be confident. We're going to continue in worship. Emma's going to help us as we continue in worship and to reflect on these things, because it all turns on grace. It all turns on depending on Jesus, depending on what he has done for us, which enables us, whoever we are, whatever our mood, whatever our personality, it enables us to look to the future with confidence. So let's join in singing together now a song which reflects on grace and reflects on the fact that we can approach God boldly today. God bless you as you worship together with me now.